their students will understand my sentiment. It's wonderful to be here, but you're looking forward to going out and going into ministry somewhere else, aren't you? And it's just that teachers just get used to the pressure and they stay. And they have as much pressure as you do, believe it or not. Somehow my old student roots got hold of me, and I felt like God was calling me to go back into ministry rather than just teach. But I tell you, I do miss teaching, and last Sabbath I lined PC directors of the North American division and I taught them. So sometimes I have withdrawal. I want to talk to you about something God's been impressing on my heart, and that is that I was born kidnapped. And it's a story of God's love for me. I think we tend to I'm a big picture person. I think we tend to sometimes get the pieces of our story out of order, or we emphasize one over another. So let me just give you an illustration of how this was brought to my attention. Okay. In a very strong way, I'm sleeping in Boise, Idaho. Yes, make fun if you want, the state of potatoes. And I get a message on my phone from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, my kids live in Tucson, so, you know, Arizona, maybe my kids, but it's an hour earlier there. What would my kids be calling me for at 5 a.m? And I wasn't able to get to the phone, and there was a message when I finally got to it. And it was a message that the weather was really bad and my garbage wouldn't get picked up for a day. Well, this actually was about Michigan. Remember when you had that terrible snow and ice storm? Phoenix was calling me in Boise to let me know that in Michigan, the garbage wasn't going to be picked up for a day. Sometimes our stories are out of context, and when that happens, we have all kinds of emotions and reactions until we truly get the picture back in perspective. Finally, I'm like, okay, it's beautiful outside, but must be something happening in Michigan. Another thing happened to me since I've been editing Guide magazine. I have to read it many times. Every guide that comes out, I've read many times. And one of the times, it's all ready to go to print, and there's a serious story, and the very end of one section was, the hand reached for the barn door. And then in the next issue, it says, so James liked to ride horses, and his grandpa was going to train a horse. And I'm like, wait, this is non sequitur. And in fact, somebody from production came running to me and said, hey, something out of order. What happened to the hand that was reaching for the barn door? And we do that in our lives. We do that in our theology. We do that in our devotions many times. So what I just want to share with you, and I will try to make very brief, is that a context that has helped me to put all of this into order. And basically, it starts with God as a parent God who wanted children of his own, their own. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. The triune parent God wanted his own children, wanted their own. That family wanted children of their own. Some of you may be adopted people who were adopted. Some of you may have adopted children of your own. Some of you have gone through the pain of wanting children of your own and not being able to have them. I remember, for religious reasons that my mother had ingrained in me, I thought I shouldn't have kids. It was too close to the end of time. And that was pretty cool because then I wouldn't have to go through the pain of childbirth And I would just love on all the kids in the world that came across my path. And I started to do that. And a little child from church whose mother was a drug addict came into my life, and we'd bring him home after church, and I was just really enjoying him and thinking of adopting him. And then his mother got saved, and he went off with his mother. And things like that would happen until, you know, you want your own child. And God wanted his own kids. God family wanted their own kids. In fact, this aspect of God often almost gets lost in our theology as we go on from there. Dr. Peckham's book has been such a wonderful gift to me, because a lot of things God has brought into my life and into my understanding of him, Dr. Peckham has theologically grounded in true good theology. So I highly recommend to you the book, The Love of God, A Canonical Model, if you haven't read it yet. It's not easy reading, but it is good reading if you can read it. Okay, so if we make a picture of this, I would say that this is what God looks like. Saw, and I do believe, I didn't ask him if I could show all of you, but he did send them to me. This is how God felt. This is how God feels about you. And this is how God feels about every single person, whether they have accepted him yet or not. Now, when you go out and do ministry to find God's children and share with them that he loves them, wanted them, had them, and isn't just deigning to adopt some of the devil's kids who will turn to him. Hey, this is a different paradigm, guys. Everyone is that to God. That and more. So we know that because he said that he was like a mother with a nursing child. We sometimes think of Adam and Eve as his children, and the rest of us are the devil's. But no, we are all his children. And this is how he feels about us. Is Kathy my dear daughter? Is she my darling child? For as often as I speak against her, I do remember her still. Therefore, my heart yearns for her. I will surely have mercy on her, declares the Lord. But we often get the idea in our head when we take pieces of theology from different places, the devil's kids. And that in John, but that's why you have to put the whole picture in a perspective. We are the devil's kids because we were kidnapped. And he legally owns us in some way. And he has totally brainwashed us. And when I say us, I say all humankind. God, our Father, ransomed us. And he left us a model to become unbrainwashed. Back into his kingdom. That is such a different picture to me than the picture that I'm the devil's, the God is willing to adopt me if I will turn to him, and then he will watch to see if I'll start obeying like a kid of his family enough so that he can take me to heaven. Now tell me if you don't somewhere in your DNA have that feeling sometimes. I'm the devil's kid. I did it again. God is never going to be able to forgive me. He's not back. But that is not what he's talking about with you. We are not adopted. Adoption is the legal transaction he has to do with the devil to take us back when we choose. So, no adopted kid. But how did the kidnapping happen? You know, we talk about not taking candy from strangers to our children. Because why? Because the stranger may kidnap them, may steal them, may do bad things to them. So God said to Adam and Eve, stay together and don't eat the fruit on that tree over there. And of course, we know what happened, and nothing's ever been the same. We're all born kidnapped, dead in trespasses and sin, hostage children of our kidnapper, the devil. We're brainwashed from birth. If you want to reinforce this idea in your mind, go and look on Amazon, maybe get the story of Elizabeth Smart or someone who was kidnapped and then brainwashed. And you will start to think, how am I supposed to be approaching God's other children? I'm not just supposed to tell them this, say yes or no, check it off, now do those things. We have to help unbrainwash people by sharing our story of how God is unbrainwashing us. That's where story comes in. God's amazing grace, it says, through sin the divine likeness was marred and well nigh obliterated in his born children. Man's physical powers were weakened, his mental capacity was lessened, his spiritual vision dimmed. He had become subject to death, yet the race was not left without hope. But infinite love and mercy, the plan of salvation had been devised, and a life of probation was granted. I used to look at that word probation, and what I was told was, you have a few years here to prove to God that you're not the devil's anymore. And that isn't really, even though there may be some truth to that, that is not where our head needs to be. And then it says, to restore in man the image of his maker. So the probation and what happens after baptism is to help restore the image of a child of God in people. So it isn't just get God's children away from the devil, get them legally adopted. It's also help unbrainwash them. That's ongoing worship, ongoing religious education in the church, ongoing Sabbath school, ongoing love and mentorship and discipleship. To restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created, to promote the development of body, mind, and soul. That's why we have a health message, not to screen for the kingdom. Mind and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. This was to be the great work of redemption. Unbrainwashed. That is what you must remember about what's happening to you, and that's the story you must continually share with those around you. I want you to think of it in terms of this picture. The bottom line of everything, and I have heard maybe apocryphally that Tozer or someone very important who had lots of deep in his life said that the bottom line, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's how we start our children. But many times we are too sophisticated and we think that we teach that in cradle roll and we don't need to do much with it anymore. In fact, heaven forbid we should call our children's curriculum Grace Link, because it might give the impression that love and grace were what it was all about. That was an aside. Anyway, also I learned from Dr. Gain that there is a hierarchy of ideas, and all ideas belong somewhere on this hierarchy. And the highest thought on the hierarchy of ideas is what? God is love. That's the deepest and highest you can go for kindergarten. So I like to think about it as this window. The bottom sill is God is love. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. But the highest I can possibly go in my theological exegesis, expertise, and depth is God is love. So somewhere in that window belongs everything I think about myself, everything I think about any of other God's children, and anything I teach or preach, 2,300 days to VegaFood, anything belongs in the window of God is love. It isn't just me. I've been told that the first line of the Great Conflict series is God is love, and the last line is God is love. So If you are full of shame, if you feel like the devil's kid, if you don't ask God continually, tell me the truth about what's going on in my life right now. Tell me the truth about why I want to smack my kid. Tell me the truth about why I just don't feel equal to standing up in class and giving that kind of presentation. If you want the truth about that, you just ask God, because it's got to fit in that window. You are God's original child. You are redeemed. You are being unbrainwashed. And any thought negative to that is from the devil. Amen. So resist him and he will flee. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make any sense.